1 Corinthians chapter 10. We are going to be in 1 Samuel most of this evening, so if you want to find that passage as well, it's chapter 16 to start with. But we're going to read one verse in 1 Corinthians before we start anything else. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Let's pray before we go any further. Dear Father, we do want to thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you that we can be here this evening. We can worship you, Lord, and fellowship with each other. Help us now, Lord, to be thinking on these things that you'll be speaking to us about. Help us not to be distracted. Give me wisdom, Lord, as to know what to say, what not to say. Father, I pray that you'd be working here this evening. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, 1 Samuel chapter 16 is where we're going to be spending our time, but I want us to think about this first little verse that we've read in 1 Corinthians, when it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." When we think about eating and drinking are immediate things. They're not things you, unless you're some kind of gourmet, you don't plan them a month ahead. When you're eating something, it's an immediate need. When you're eating or drinking something, it's a recurrent thing. This is something you do a lot, and you do it without a whole heap of thought beforehand. Unless you're going to a fancy restaurant and you're one of those people that looks on the menu on the internet for like 3 days beforehand to pick what you want. I'm not one of those people, but if you are, you're wrong. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to look at David's life this evening. One aspect of his life, and that was the aspect of David as a servant. And David as a servant, more specifically as a servant with open eyes. We don't want to just talk about being a blind servant, being a servant who does something because they just what they have to do. They're not shackled to anything. We want to talk about David being a servant with his eyes open. Now, I've talked a few times about the word circumspectly and the idea of that word being with attention in every direction, having attention all around, not just focused on front, not just looking behind and terrified of what's chasing you, but with attention in every direction. When we're talking about serving with our eyes open, we want to talk about serving circumspectly. We want to have our eyes open. We want to be looking for opportunities to serve. So, 1 Samuel, chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 11. Now, we're kind of popping in halfway through a story here. I'm hoping most of you guys already know this story. Samuel has come to the house of Jesse to pick the next king of Israel. Let's go to verse 11. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a good countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, this is he." We want to talk about David this evening. And the first time David pops up in the Bible, we see him serving. We see him serving his father, doing a job that he has to do. It's not like he had much of a choice. In that day and age, he was given a job to do by his dad and he did it. But we see no bad attitude here. We see in verse 12, you almost see a smiling child. He was ruddy and a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. He was a cheerful kid. We don't know exactly how old he was at this stage. But the first thing that I want us to think about this evening, before we get into the points of David being a servant, is that God gets glory from the little things. God gets glory from the little things that we do as we serve others. God gets glory from a little boy obeying his dad and watching the sheep. He gets glory from us as we come here and we sit in Sunday school and we listen to our teachers and we sing the songs and we do the right actions at the right times. We don't do the wrong actions because sometimes that happens and that's not as much fun for the song leader, which is also me. In Mark chapter 9, I'm going to read one verse before we go too much further just to reinforce the idea that little things bring God glory. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. This is Jesus speaking. If you've got a red letter Bible, it will be in red. It says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." God is saying not only do these things bring him glory, but the little things will bring you blessing. The little things are very, very important in the Christian walk. It's very easy for Christians to go, "I want to do this big, amazing thing for God. I'm going to be a missionary in Nepal, but only a missionary to people who are blind." And they make this big, amazing statement, "This is what God wants me to do," and they forget about all the people around them right now that they can witness to, that they can serve. And we want to look at David this evening about how the serving he did in the little things led him to serving in the great things. So the first thing we see here is that David served in his job. He did the expected things. David did the things that were expected of him, which is normal. This is what everybody is normally going to be doing. People expect you to do certain things in your life. There are certain levels of serving that you just do. Whether it's at work and you work at fast food and you give people their cheeseburger, whether you work where I work and you give people a box of screws, whatever it is, there are little things that are expected of us to serve. For David, let's think about what that meant for David. David is a shepherd, little shepherd boy. The expected things for a shepherd were to sit and make sure no sheep kills themselves off a cliff. There wasn't a whole heap more to it than that. You had to protect them from predators, you had to keep an eye on them, and you had to not kill yourself from boredom, because it would have been a very boring, time-consuming thing. Long stretches of solitude, nobody but the sheep. I wonder how many sheep got a conversation with David during his youth. David sitting behind under a tree, and the only people to talk to are God and sheep. And he sits there with his harp, and he's doing the expected thing. He's serving, and he's serving with a good attitude. You know how we know he had a good attitude? Because his father gives him more responsibility. When we serve God with a bad attitude, we might be doing the right thing, the thing that God wants us to do. But if we do it with a bad attitude, because I have to do this, we're not going to go very much further. God's not going to use us. He's not going to give us the next level of responsibility. It's the same at work. If you're at work or if you're at school and the teachers or your employer see you doing what you have to do, but doing it with the biggest scowl they've ever seen, they're not going to go, you know what? I'm going to promote you. It doesn't work like that. They want to see serving with a good attitude. And we see that here in David's life. David's expected job at this time could be really summed up in a couple of words, and that was obedience to his father. That was what was expected. Whether that was sheep, whether that was mowing the lawn with the sheep, whatever it was, this was David's job, was to be obedient to his dad. That was all he had to do. He didn't have to kill a giant. God didn't say, or his dad didn't say, David, today I need you to leave the sheep and go kill that giant that's annoying all of Israel. If you can just do that and come back before lunch, that'd be great. He doesn't say that. He gives him the simple, immediate job. So we see David doing the expected job. In chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we're going to go to verse 12. Now, in between these two passages, we know what happens. David is anointed king of Israel. He does do some work with Saul as well. We're going to go back and look at that in a little bit. But in chapter 17, verse 12, it says, "Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had eight sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near... morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Now the Philistine here is Goliath. Verse 17, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." So we see that David's serving in this little thing, looking after the sheep, let his father go, "All right, you know what, you've earned a little bit of a holiday, carry all this cheese to somebody else." It's not really the best idea of a holiday, but we see David does it with a good attitude. He gets it all, he starts heading towards the battlefield. So the first thing we saw was David served in his job. And the second thing is, we see David served when he was asked. So there's expected things, and then there's unexpected things. So David's now serving in an unexpected capacity. He wasn't expecting that day, most likely, to have to carry bread and food to his brothers. But his father gives him an unexpected opportunity to serve, and he jumps on it. He does it straight away. We don't see any whinging. We don't see him rubbing the cheese and the mud along the road just so it'll serve his brothers right, because he doesn't like his brothers or they don't like him. Serving leads to opportunities for more serving. And that's a very important point when we're thinking about how to serve God. We don't expect, like I already said, to jump straight into the main ministry. God gives us little things to do. God asks us to be on the cleaning roster and to vacuum the church when nobody's watching. Or he asks us to hand out the snacks on a youth group Friday night to the kids who come and hide biscuits in their pocket. But God will ask us to do unexpected things. And sometimes that means having to get up and lead singing because Cam lost his voice. Or sometimes that means being the person giving out the food or signing in people at youth group. And sometimes it means just cleaning up on a Sunday morning before church because someone else got sick and they couldn't make it on Saturday to clean the church. But the unexpected opportunities is where the testing begins. We're always expected to do the expected jobs, but it's the unexpected jobs that God watches. He watches to see how we respond. And I have to admit, I don't always respond very well. My least favorite job, I would say, in the church is leading singing. I don't like it. I don't like people looking at me when I'm singing. I don't sing well enough for people to look at me while I'm singing. It makes me very uncomfortable, and I feel very self-conscious while I'm doing it. But sometimes it has to happen. Sometimes I got to get up, and I got to lead the singing. And now I've said that, I can see Cam starting to think about the next time he can do it to me. But the unexpected things is when God starts testing. And when he tests me and Cam goes, hey man, I'm sick, you need to do it. There's really two ways I can go. I can do a David and go, all right, let's get up here and let's lead some singing. Or I can go, I have also lost my voice. And I'm very, very sorry. But Miles looks really good for this job, Cam. And then Miles has his lost voice and it goes through. There's two ways we can go about it. We can deal with the unexpected one of two ways. The right way is the way we see David doing it. We're going to read a couple more verses here. We're going to read from verse 19 of chapter 17. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. I wonder if that means David shouted for the battle. Was he getting into it from the sidelines? It sounds a little bit like he was. But verse 20 is what we want to look at. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went. He just did it. We see here in the life of David, he's not a lazy person. David doesn't go, you know what? They can wait for their cheese. It's not going to make that much of a deal. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to, you know, play some video games, and then I'm going to go see my brothers. As soon as his father gave him the job, the next day he rose up early in the morning. Now, they make an exception. The Bible here says early in the morning. Now, early in the morning for a shepherd is really early in the morning, because shepherds get up like normal times, like dairy farmers. They just wake up at weird times and they're awake. Shepherds are the same. They just get up, they take the sheep out while it's still dark. So for David to be early was very early. He got up as soon as he thought it would be appropriate to get up and take food to his brothers. He was keen to serve. He was keen to get going and get this job done. The unexpected things, that's the hard thing to talk about. How do you know what God's going to ask you to do? Sometimes God's going to ask you to do those things. Sometimes God's going to ask you to tow somebody's vehicle. A few weeks ago, our car decided to die halfway between here and Ravenshoe on a Saturday night after our youth outreach out there. And luckily for us, we just fanged it past Cam's van. We'd just blown past him, and my car started making some weird noise. And it's probably my fault for hitting it a bit too hard to get past Cam. But anyway, engine started making some weird noises. It was knocking on the front door, which was not what I wanted to hear. And we pulled in to a little turnoff, and I thought, oh, well, I'm going to have to see what I can do. And I thought, Cam's just going to go past because he's not going to see us. He's not going to realize what's going on. He's just going to fang it past like I would. He's got all these kids to drop home. It's Saturday night. He's got church tomorrow. And so I'm under the bonnet, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what an engine is. I know lots of stuff. I don't know what an engine is. And I'm looking and I'm going, that bit of plastic looks bad. I think that bit of plastic looks bad. And I'm shaking some stuff and I'm kicking the tires and I've got no idea what's going on. And the next minute, Cam's big bus pulls up next to me full of loud people all staring at me under the hood. And I'm thinking, oh, well, I mean, he stopped, which is nice. And he gets out and him and Elliot, who know something about everything, they come and have a look and they're in the vehicle and they're starting it and they're stopping it and they're shining torches and looking underneath and like, that looks really professional. I should have done that. I should have looked under the car. I didn't think of that at all. But Cam goes, all right, what we'll do is all of you guys, so me and Abby and the two kids, we jump in the bus. They drive us back to Herberton and all their cars are in Malanda. Drive us back to Herberton. I stay in the van. They drive from Herberton back to Malanda, which is still half an hour. Drop all the kids off. Drive back to Atherton. Swap cars. Drive back to the middle of nowhere, tow my vehicle back to Atherton, and Cam had a great time towing the vehicle back to Atherton. He had so much fun. I was terrified. I was riding the brake the whole way. And he kept pulling me, because he's like, get faster, I'm like, go slower. But we got back there and parked up my wrecked car next to the Drew's house. And Cam said, just take my car for the evening or for the weekend and bring it back in a couple of days or whatever it was. And I said, hey, thanks a lot for this. And he was just like, yeah, it's cool. And he didn't even think about it. He was willing to serve in an unexpected way. And he's just like, whatever. It doesn't matter at all. It was just an opportunity to serve. And I see that in David's life. David just, his dad said, hey, look, I need you to make a journey early in the morning with food to your brothers who are in the middle of a war. And David's like, yeah, I can do that. That's no worries. I'll get up early. I'll go. He gets up and he goes. He serves in an unexpected way. Now, I've written a reference down here that I don't remember, so give me 1 second. It could be a wrong reference. It could be Patty learning to write. We don't know. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Sometimes the answer to that question is an action. Sometimes the answer that people are asking you, why are you a Christian? How are you a Christian? Sometimes the answer isn't in what you say. Sometimes the answer is in how you serve. And that's an answer to the hope that is in you. Because people in the world don't want to serve. People in the world are going to drive past me broken down on the side of the road. They're not even going to stop. They're going to maybe throw a bottle out the window and see what happens and just keep on going. So David served in an unexpected way. So first he served in an expected and then an unexpected way. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 20. We looked at that one. Let's go down a little bit further. Verse 21. "For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them." Now, let's skip down to let's go to verse 26. "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So, David served in expected ways. Then he served in unexpected ways. And then David served when nobody asked. David served in unthinkable ways. This was not something you could plan for. You don't ever wake up in the morning going, I'm going to kill a literal giant today. He woke up that morning going, I'm going to give my brothers some good cheese. And he ends up killing a giant instead. Unthinkable. Let's go to verse 44. "And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David was looking for ways to serve. He was looking for things to do for God. He had his eyes open. He was walking circumspectly. He walked into a battle. And it says there, he ran through the host to find his brothers. He was in the middle of the army when he heard Goliath yell and he saw the soldiers scatter. Now, one of the big problems with medieval and Napoleonic warfare is once one person starts to scatter, it's very, very contagious. And so David, standing in the middle of the battle, sees Goliath and sees a couple people scatter. But it's never just a couple people that scatter. Before you know it, almost everybody is gone. That's why we're not going into military history. We're not doing that. But David had his eyes open. He saw Goliath. He heard Goliath. And not only did he see it, he made a connection in his mind that this is something that I can do to serve God. He didn't just look at it and go, someone should fix that. There's so many times around the world and we see there's a whole subgenre on the internet of that's not my job. and you see people who have been painting the sides of the road and just gone over a branch and some roadkill and kept going because it wasn't my job. In every single sense, this was not David's job. He was not in the army. He wasn't supposed to be there. His brothers didn't want him there. His dad told him to give some cheese and go home. But David is standing there in the middle of a battle, goes, I can take him. And if you think about the one who should be taking him, Saul, we know, was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. And so from the standpoint, well, that's the tallest guy in Philistines. Who's the tallest guy in Israel? Ah, it's Saul. Saul should be doing it. But instead we see this runty little fella standing up going, you shouldn't be talking like that. And he decides to pick up some rocks and promises the giant to his face he's going to cut his head off. He doesn't just go, I can probably knock you down. He goes, today I'm taking your head off. Now remember at this point, he doesn't have a sword. He's got a sling. He's got a bit of leather and some rocks. I don't know what he's planning to do, how to get that head off, how hard he's planning to swing. But he makes a promise to Goliath that he's going to take his head off. Before we get to the end of the story, and we will, we want to think about David's willingness to serve in the little things that led him to the point that he could slay a giant. He didn't get told to kill that giant. He got told to deliver some food. And as we're thinking about ourselves and our Christian walk, God's not going to ask us most of the time tomorrow to go and be a martyr in communist China. He's not going to ask us to go to Iran and live with the Muslims and try and work with them and be a missionary over there. But he might ask us to mow the lawn. And he might ask us to put the books away after church. And he might ask us to be more friendly with people in church and shake their hands when they come in. And those little things are the tests that God uses to give us a bigger thing. And next week it might be, everybody's sick at youth group, I need you to lead the games. And then a few months later, after the serving that you've done there, someone might go, can you do a lesson for the kids in Sunday school? And God slowly, slowly builds up our usefulness to him by how open our eyes are, by how willing we are to go, this is a job that I can do. The beginning step for David was obedience to his dad. Now, for all you kids here tonight, let's think about this for a minute. If you ever want to kill a giant, you want to kill a giant? I want to kill a giant. The first thing you've got to do is obey your mom and dad. That's the first thing you've got to do. And then, in time, you might kill some giants. Maybe. Before I finish the story, I want to also talk about the idea of I'm going to use the terms generalization versus specialization. Now, this is a bit of a weird thing. We think about specialization as someone who says, this is the thing that I'm going to do. This is that one thing. And when we're thinking in Christian terms, we want to think about someone who goes, I'm going to be a pastor or I'm going to be a missionary. And there's nothing at all wrong with those things. The problem is when you decide to specialize very, very early, you focus on nothing but that one thing and you forget all the little things along the way. You guys know I like sports, so I'm going to use a bit of a sports illustration here. Tiger Woods was a professional golfer by the time he was 14. When he was 4 years old, his dad gave him a putter, and he would never was without that. His dad would leave him at the golf course by himself from about 8 years old all day to practice putting and slicing and driving and all of this stuff, and that was his whole life. His whole life was golf. That was the thing he wanted to do. He knew, or at least his dad knew, what he wanted him to be. And he did succeed. He succeeded, but he had no other life experience along the way. And we see how Tiger Woods turned out. It wasn't a great story. Because his whole life was on that one thing, he forgot to do the little things properly. The little things like relationships with other people and how to deal with things. He didn't do those things, and then it all came crashing down. Roger Federer was a tennis player, is a tennis player. Was a tennis player. He was. But he didn't specialize in tennis until he was about 16 or 17. Until then, he played everything. He played handball and he played soccer and he played, what else do they play in Europe? I don't know, skiing. I'm not really sure. Something to do with snow. But he did. They play football. You are correct, sir. Yes. And I'm slapping myself internally for saying that. But when he was about 16, he narrowed it down to tennis and football. He stopped playing the others, but because he had all that other experience, it made him such a great tennis player. He didn't just rely on the skills he learned swinging a tennis racket. He relied on the skills he learned in fitness with football and in positioning with handball and all of the other things that come into it. And we see that in our Christian walks. If we just go, I'm going to be a missionary in this specific place and that's it, and then all we're focused on is that one thing, and someone can be dying in the gutter next to us and we don't see it because we're looking in Mongolia and we're waiting for Mongolia. We want to be having our eyes open. Our eyes open to the opportunities that are here right now, because there are so many opportunities right now. Cam was talking about the outreach in Ravensow on Saturdays. There are outreaches there. There's outreaches in Malanda. The markets that we have, at least every 2 weeks of the month, there's people in the markets. There's RI in the schools. There's so many opportunities in our church for serving. And if you're not comfortable at that level, God totally understands that. And he wants you to sweep. And he wants you to vacuum. And he wants you to find a little job in the church that's your job. David had one job, and that was to look after the sheep. Because he did it well, God gave him more jobs and better jobs and bigger jobs until he became king of Israel. The more little things we do, the more experience we get, and the more opportunities we have for God to work through us. Now, David wouldn't have had the courage to kill a giant if he hadn't been working with the sheep and had opportunities to fight lions and bears. Those two things gave him a bit more opportunity for God to work in him, for him to understand what's going on, for him to understand the power that God has. So when the bigger thing happens, he understands that too and he can do it. So, let's finish the story, and then we're going to talk about one more story before Isaac comes. We've got a little bit of time. Okay. Verse 48 of 1 Samuel 17. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Let's go to verse 51. Therefore David ran and took and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So this time the scattering's happened in the other direction, because one little boy was willing, really, as it comes down to it, one little boy was willing to obey his dad. One little boy is willing to obey his dad, and that led to the entire Philistine army being routed and running away terrified. From this moment on, David becomes a little bit more than a little boy. He becomes a bit of a legend in Israel. And we're going to see, we're not going to talk about it tonight, about the rule that he does, but we know that he takes over from Saul. He becomes the next king. And Saul's son Jonathan was best friends with David. They were very, very close. Now we're going to go to 2 Samuel in chapter 9. 2 Samuel 9. And this is after everything has happened. David is king. He's safe in his throne. He's secure. 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So we see David going from a little boy willing to serve his dad, growing up to being a man willing to serve God, and now he comes to the point where he can say, "Is there anyone else I can serve?" So no longer is he just waiting for opportunities to come. There's not a Goliath presenting itself. He decides to seek out opportunities to serve. He's no longer willing to wait for them to come to him. He now starts to hunt them down. He's looking for people that need help. He's looking for any way to serve anyone related to Jonathan because of his love for Jonathan. We know the story of Mephibosheth, how he was lame in his feet, and the kindness and the love that David showed. And I read a commentary this week that someone said that David pretty much adopted Mephibosheth and said, "You are pretty much now my son. You're eating at my table." That's a lot more than you would need to give. David went above and beyond in his hunt for serving other people. We want to think tonight that we don't want to wait for a big chance to serve God. We don't want to just be hanging out for that one time where we can lead a revival meeting and the whole building gets saved and there's little... I'm not going to go there, no. We don't want to wait for those opportunities. We want to be looking for the little things now. We want to be looking for the little opportunities that just bless God's heart when he sees somebody going, I'm going to give a cup of water to that little kid. If anybody needs to, Patty's always willing to have a cup of water. So if you need to, get some practice. Ask him if you want some water. He's going to say yes, just so you know. We want to look for little things to do now at church, at Sunday school, at home, at youth group, in the places we already are. David didn't go out of his way when he started serving. God brought him out of his way later. God is going to have stuff for us right now in this building we're all in right now. There's going to be an opportunity for us to serve. It might be a little thing. It's probably going to be a little thing to start with. And that's what's so encouraging is it doesn't normally stay little things. God is testing to see what we're willing to do for him, and then the things get bigger. It's been on my heart that we have people in our church that are happy to be here, but they're only happy to sit here. And I was one of those people for a while. And I've got to tell you, it's so much better to have a job. It's so much better to have something that you do and go, this is my job in this church. And maybe you're not an official voting member, but if you're here on a Sunday, you're a member of this family, this church. And God wants you to be serving. He wants you to have something to do in this church. And maybe it's just handing out the bulletins on a Sunday morning. But if God's given you that job, do it. Do it happily. Do it like David did it. And before we know it, we might be killing giants. Let's pray, and then I'll get Isaac to come up. Dear Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you that we can be here this evening. Help us, Lord, to be thinking on these things, to be looking for opportunities to serve. Lord, make them clear to us. Help us, Father, to be growing as a church, individually, Lord, closer to you. Help us to be a blessing in this community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.